Hello, 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 and welcome back to the All or Something Living podcast. I'm so excited to be talking to you guys again because, as some of you know, I actually record these episodes like 3 months in advance. So I do 3 months of recordings at once. So it's been 3 months since I've actually been on here doing the episodes, and it just feels so good to be in front of the microphone again. I am still working on getting the volume right. So if you listen, well, obviously, if you're listening now, you're listening. If you have any feedback about the volume or the sound quality, please let me know. I want to adjust it and make sure, because for me, something huge about listening to podcasts is that it's at a comfortable volume that I can listen in my car if I need to, or I can listen wherever and there's not, like, first of all, like loud pops of sound, or there's not like it's not too quiet. So let me know any feedback or suggestions that you have as far as sound goes, and I will continue to make improvements on that. But for now, we're just going to get into today's episode. And today the topic is long distance relationship and staying, even if you're not in a long distance relationship, even if you do little bouts of long distance, or if you don't do any of that, just how to stay connected to your partner in general. Especially in long-term relationships, it can be so easy to lose that connection and not even realize it. Like, one day it just hits you that you either feel disconnected to your partner, or you're just like, where the heck did our little spark go? So we're going to talk about that in today's episode. I will be trying out a new format with this podcast. I know in general with my coaching and the work that I do online, sometimes I can be very structured and very by the book. I want to do everything perfectly. And when I do that, I often lose my creativity and that little spark. And what I have always wanted from this podcast and with the work that I do is for you to feel like you are, well, I guess not if you're being coached by me, but if you're listening to this podcast, I want you to feel like you're sitting down with a friend. Maybe it's a Sunday and you're just winding down from the weekend, getting ready for the week ahead, and you have a glass of wine in your hand and you just kind of want to relax and be inspired in some way. Or maybe you're driving down the freeway on the way to work in the morning and you want to get your morning dose of inspiration. Or if you're taking a walk in the fresh, crisp summer air, fall air, I don't know when you're listening to this, just so that it feels like you have a friend in your ear, that you have somebody that was understanding as possible of your journey and your personal situation, and that I don't come from a place of like judgment, but it's more so a place of like, let's just sit down and chat. So because of that, I'm going to be doing less scripting and more from the heart. So I feel like, first of all, I don't like to ramble. So then I felt like, okay, so the cure for that would be to just write out a script and just kind of read that out, but add my own flavor as I go. And so I sat down this morning to start to outline the episodes for the next few months. And I was looking at the topics that I had written down a few weeks ago that I was going to talk about today. And I didn't feel particularly inspired by any of them. I don't want to just sit here and rattle off a bunch of tips for you to hear. And listen, if you're somebody who likes that, like if you need structure, if you really want to just walk away with like actionable steps, like you know exactly what you're going to do when you stop listening to this podcast, there are a lot of people who prefer that. And that's awesome. And I know that it just depends on the kind of podcast that I'm listening to. But I've noticed that I learn more from more conversational podcasts. Not necessarily like ones where they get on and they just like talk about random stuff. But as long as there's a theme and I'm sticking to that, I want to do it that way. And then also it just makes more sense for me to share what's been going on from like what lessons that I've been learning lately. That way I have fresh experience. I can offer fresh perspective for you. So again, with the sound quality and then the way that I am doing the non-scripted episodes, just writing down points that I'll cover, I want to hear your thoughts. So please leave me a review wherever it is that you listen. It's a great way to not only thank me for the work that I do for free every week for you to get some inspiration, but it's also a way to let me know like what I could improve on. And that helps not only my experience, but of course your experience, which is the most important to me. So leave me a review and I will give you a shout out when either on social media or something, but I'll give you a shout out. It definitely means the world to me. So I would appreciate that. Now, the next order of business before we dive into the meat of this episode is that in a few weeks or a month, don't have the exact deadline yet, but I will let you know as soon as I do, but I've been working behind the scenes on a 6 weeks to confidence course where you can take small steps each week for 6 weeks, which will greatly improve your personal confidence. And I don't just mean like body confidence or you feeling like you walk into a room and like, I don't know, you feel good enough to be there. That's definitely part of it. But a lot of this is for the people who, if you feel like you need to learn how to not let your anxiety hold you back from doing the things that you want to do, how to take more risks without feeling like you are too scared to take the risks, like how to actually go and take those risks, and then how to understand that you're worthy of doing the things and having the things that you want in life, and that it's just there are just a few things that are holding you back that we will cover throughout the course. So I'm going to read to you the curriculum of every week so that you can just decide if it's something that is of interest to you. So in the first week of the course, we're going to talk about rating your confidence, your own personal confidence. So in this week, we'll get familiar with the program and set intentions for what you desire to achieve in the next 6 weeks. We'll explore what confidence means and why it's important in your life. And then we'll become aware of the four biggest confidence blocks that we face, especially as women. In week two, we'll dive into visualizing your ideal self. Visualization is huge. So in this week, we're going to complete the most powerful exercise for cultivating confidence on a daily basis. We're going to talk about why the common advice of fake it till you make it doesn't work always and what actually does work. Then in week three, we're going to talk about the mindset. I think I just made up a new word, guys. The mindset shifts that are required for confidence. And then in this week, we're going to explore why being too hard on yourself is a confidence killer and how to ease up, you know, get some more self-love in there. We're going to learn the number one thing that will boost your confidence more than anything else. And the hint is that it's the thing that you fear the most, but don't worry, I'm here to guide you. And that's why we're taking this course, so you feel like you have accountability and support. In week four, we're going to take action. You're going to learn impactful exercise to boost your confidence now and whenever you need it. So in this week, you'll learn daily practices to infuse confidence in your life, and then a bad habit that most women have and how to break that habit. Week five is translating confidence into the most important parts of your life. So you'll learn how to show up confidently when it comes to the areas of relationships and friendships, career and passions, and food and exercise. And then week six is goal setting and habit building. So you'll learn how to create systems that'll help you crush your goals on a regular basis, how you can maintain the confidence that it requires to stick to your habits, reach your goals, and build the life you desire, because that's what this is all about, right? We just want to live the life that we desire. And then we'll finish up by revisiting your goals from week one, and then the most important part is to celebrate and to acknowledge how far that you've come in just 6 weeks. And then, based on the feedback that I've gotten from so many of you, body confidence is something that holds you back. So I'm throwing in a bonus module for those who sign up, and it's called the Body Confidence Module. And in this module, you'll learn how to feel more comfortable in your body with or without weight loss. Spoiler alert. That is a podcast topic that's coming up soon in a few weeks as well. So be on the lookout for that. You'll learn ways that you can use self-care to enhance your body confidence. And then you'll learn some actionable tips, because if we don't take action, we don't change, right? You'll learn some actionable tips for feeling more in tune with your body. So if that is something that you're interested, make sure that you're signed up for my newsletter. Not only does my newsletter notify you first when new episodes of the podcast release each week, but you also get special like bonus emails of things that I don't tell everybody. You get special offers, especially when it comes to the 6 weeks to confidence course. I don't know if you can hear that, but don't mind that airplane going above us. We live next to an Air Force base. As I was saying, though, so make sure that you are getting weekly updates from me, and that'll help you stay in touch knowing when the course releases. So you can do that by going to laurenkepler.com, and on the front page, on the home page of laurenkepler.com, you can sign up for my 6 Steps to Confidence audio training, and that will also give you a little sample of what the course is going to be like. So you can go to laurenkepler.com, or you can just click the link in the show notes, whatever feels most convenient to you. Alrighty, so now that obnoxious plane has passed for the most part, I'm sure there's like another one coming afterwards, but for now, thank you for listening to the information about that course. And again, please feel free to reach out to me too if you have any questions on that. So let's get into it. So Jason and I, for those who aren't familiar with me or the podcast quite yet, first of all, welcome, my new friend. But Jason is my fiance. We first met in England when we were both stationed there. We first met, I want to say it was like 6.5 years ago, because we just hit our 6-year anniversary of dating. And right now we're in the process of planning our wedding, which I'm really excited about. We finally picked a date. We're getting married in May of next year. So 6 years of dating has been quite a whirlwind. I'm sure, as you can imagine, filled with lots of ups and downs. And I know that we aren't technically married yet, but I feel like we're going into marriage with a lot more experience than most people do. I feel like a lot of people get into marriage and they experience a lot of the things that we've already experienced, and it can scare them because they feel like, shit, like I already made this commitment and now I'm stuck in this marriage. And it can leave you feeling sometimes like you need a way out. And thankfully, because we haven't been married, every time that we've gone through something, I felt okay, because I felt like there was a lot more easily a way out. And I think it all also really says something about our love and commitment to each other. The fact that there were so many times that we could have just easily called it quits, and we didn't. Now, I won't lie and say that we've never like temporarily broken up, or there was a time, especially in the beginning, when, like, I mean, before Jason, my longest relationship was a 3-month relationship, and even that wasn't an adult relationship. So I had a lot of maturing to do in the beginning years of our relationship. Clearly I still do, but you know, you learn and you grow, and that's what's most important. But there were so many times in the beginning that I threatened to like just leave the relationship because I could. Now, the reason that I'm bringing all of that up is just to say that every single relationship takes work. No matter what your level of commitment is to each other, no matter what the initial chemistry is, I think that Jason and I had such an amazing connection naturally And the beginning stages of our relationship felt like a fairy tale. It felt like a fantasy. And so I just thought that, like, oh, maybe I just found the one, somebody I naturally connect with really well. And so we don't really need to do maintenance on our relationship. And it can be so easy to become complacent because of that and to not do the, let's say, like, necessary yard work that it takes to maintain a healthy relationship. So then we'd find ourselves in times where we weren't meshing, or just all of a sudden it would just click, like, something is off. I'm feeling disconnected. And then it would really throw me off because I didn't know the tools. I didn't know what it took to regain that connection and to, better yet, maintain that connection as we went. So obviously there are so many different ways to connect to your partner, and I'm going to share the ones that we've been doing lately, the ones that we've tried personally that really make a difference for us. Now, as I'm telling you about these things, don't feel like your relationship has to look just like ours, because the last thing that you want to do is place expectations onto your relationship and say, well, Lauren does her relationship like this, so this is what my man should be interested in. Everybody has a unique way of connecting and expressing themselves to each other. So I want you to think about what I'm talking about that we do and kind of tie your own creative spin into it. How can you turn this into something that works for your own personal relationship? How can you just gain inspiration from what you're hearing and bring that flavor into your relationship? So something that we have always been pretty good at is trying out new adventures together. And to me, it makes it feel like he's kind of my partner in crime, you know? I know a lot of couples are like, well, if there's something that I'm not interested in doing, then I'm not going to do that with my partner. I'll just let them do it. And of course, you always want to have those things that are just specific to either you or your partner, because you don't want to feel like you guys are dependent on each other and you have to be attached at the hip all the time. Obviously, don't invite your man to your girl wine nights and stuff like that. Or you don't have to come hang out and watch football with him if you don't want to. But at least have a few things that you guys can try together, some new things that you guys can try together, or adventures that you guys can go on together. So with us, we recently went to somebody I knew on Facebook invited me over for a wine tasting event. They had a wine sommelier, I think it is. He came over and he was giving a presentation on old wine versus new wine. Now, it could be so easy for us to, and I think a lot of couples do this, just be sucked into your comfort zone. So you guys are used to being at home on the weekends, just cuddling, watching movies, and actually getting ready and going somewhere where you don't know anybody and having to pay money and blah, 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 can feel like a little bit much. And that's exactly why you need to do it. That's exactly why you need to jump into it, because it not only helped us spend a fun afternoon together and connect in that way, connect by also forming new connections, but we made new friends from that experience. And then that offers variety too for when we're spending time together. We learn more about each other when we're with new friends and we're connecting with them. So we've done that recently, and then my friend invited me to be in a music video, and it was like a 70s themed music video. So everybody was dressing up, and Jason was like nervous about it. Like, he didn't really want to be in it. He's like, I'll go and support you, but I don't want to be in it. And I was like, let's just do this together. You know, let's just dress up and be goofy. Like, it doesn't have to really be anything special. So he went with me to that. We ended up having a great time and also meeting new friends and making new connections. So those are just a few of the ways that we can push each other to grow, because sometimes it can be really hard to just make those decisions on our own. But when you have a partner to grow with, to try out those new things with, it changes everything. And then another thing is, and this goes back to the laziness, like it's just so easy to stick to that default setting. There are so many times where It's a weekend night and I just am like, let's just sit in front of the TV. You watch what you want to watch. I'll watch what I want to watch, or I'll read my book or whatever. But we're not really connecting in that way. So we've been buying board games, either that can be two players or if we want to invite our friends over. But we just bought this really fun board game. I think it's called Smartish. Yeah, it's called Smartish. And it's like a trivia game, but it's not as hard as other trivia games. So you don't just feel like it's over your head and it's just, I don't know, it's reserved for the smart people. That's why it's called Smartish. But we played that game because it's two players or more. And it was really fun because it caused us to make conversation and like about these topics. We would stop and kind of veer off on like a conversation about something, or we were learning something new together, which was really fun. And then he just finally bought himself I think it's a PS4. And so he has all these games on it that he likes to play, which, you know, he likes to play fighting, violent games, stuff that I'm not interested in. So I wouldn't want to play his PlayStation with him, but he asked me what I'm interested in playing, and then he went out and bought games like that. So he bought us a fun Sonic racing game that we could play together, and that was a way for us to connect as well. And then another thing that we like to do is just be more thoughtful of each other, to be more mindful. And this doesn't have to be like any major gesture. Sometimes I'll offer him massages, especially if I know that he's had a long day, or if he's done a really tough workout and he's kind of complaining that he's sore, I'll offer him a massage. I know that I don't always like to do the same thing as he does at the gym, but he gets really excited when we work out together, so I'll offer him gym dates and I'll just like let him lead me through the exercises at the gym. There's something that he does. So I have an irregular cycle. So my period will come, like it will come sometimes in 3 months. Sometimes it doesn't come for like 6 months. Like it's crazy. And he knows that that's something that's really important to me. A lot of women and couples are like mad when a period comes, but that's something that we celebrate because it's a sign of, you know, that I'm still, I guess, somewhat healthy. Like, anyway, it's a celebration for us. So what he does is he gets me every period when it starts, he gets me my favorite flowers, and then he gets me a chocolate or a dessert. And that's something that's just really thoughtful on his end, and it's just showing his level of support for me, and that keeps us connected, and it keeps me appreciative of him. And then keeping it light and fun as often as possible, keeping things light, not feeling like we're in a relationship or we're married and we have kids and we have responsibilities. We don't have time to play and to have fun. Keep it as light as often as possible and choose your battles. I think there were so many times where I was easily really nitpicky about like, oh, you didn't take out the trash or you didn't do the dishes. And nagging can really sever the connection and really create resentment and frustration in your relationship. So I, again, learned to trade my expectations for appreciation. So instead of feeling like I expect things from him, when he does nice things or does the dishes or whatever, I just think, I really appreciate you for that. And that has really transformed things for us. And then another thing is, if I am frustrated with him, I will be very careful in my approach. So instead of just attacking him with all my assumptions, I say, babe, this is the story that I'm telling myself about what's going on. Like, this is why I think you did this, and this is why, yada yada. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Is that true? Is the story I'm telling myself true? 99% of the time, the story that I'm making up in my head is not true. But instead of bombarding him with my feelings and expecting him to take responsibility for those feelings, I'm able to just talk it out with him and ask, what's your perspective on this? Like, what's really going on here? And then the last thing that's so important is that you're staying connected to yourself first. Because if you're not feeling connected with yourself, if you're not feeling loving toward yourself, how can you be that way with anybody else? So I make sure that I'm practicing lots of self-care. I'm taking care of me. I'm doing the routines that help me feel grounded and centered on a daily basis so that I can show up as the best version of myself for him. So let's talk about now the long distance portion of things, because I just saw somebody that I follow online that I really love, Mary's Cup of Tea. I forget her full name. But anyway, she's on Instagram as Mary's Cup of Tea, and she does a lot of body positive work. She's very sweet, very beautiful. And she just posted something about how her and her boyfriend are about to do 6 weeks of long distance. And she's like, does anybody have any long distance relationship tips for me? And it can be, I think a lot of people can think like, oh, 6 weeks, that's nothing, you know, and downplay her distance from her man. But no matter how long or how often you're doing long distance, no matter how many times that you've done it, it's still really difficult. And that's something that can really sever a connection in a relationship. So it's so important that you learn and you practice ways that you can stay connected to your partner, even when you guys are away from each other for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, sometimes a few years. Jason and I have had some experience with long distance. So after our first 6 months of dating, as I said before, we had met in England while we were both in the military together, but 6 months in, I separated from the military and I had to move back to the States. He still had to finish up his tour in England, which was 7 months long. So I stayed with my brother during that time. And I think probably the first long distance that we did was the hardest. It was the scariest because, first of all, it was like pulling teeth to get Jason to agree to do long distance in the first place. From the beginning of our relationship, he always said, I don't do long distance. It's just not something I do. It's just not going to work out. But as we got closer to me leaving and we were more and more in love, he was like, man, like, if this is what it takes to get you to be with you, I guess we're just going to have to try it out. So I had no idea. My life was completely already changing because I was leaving this career that I had had for 4.5 years. I was moving back stateside. It was just all so foreign to me. So I was transitioning from that. And then on top of the stress of that, I also had this brand new long distance relationship, because 6 months in and then having to do long distance can be really scary, as I've said. But so that time, I think it was about 4 months, 3 to 4 months into our distance, into being long distance, I was able to meet him in Florida. That's when I met his son, Jalen, for the first time. And so we spent a few days together in between that 7 months. But it was really freaking tough. And That was our first time. And then he, a few years ago, deployed for 4 months. And that, again, was really hard. There were some times where he had to go away for a few weeks for work. And all those times really put a strain on our relationship. And I'm going to tell you some of the lessons that we've learned from that. But it definitely takes practice and experience. But yesterday, he just left for a 6 month deployment. So this will be the longest that we've been apart from each other. And it's been a bit of an adjustment. I feel more confident this time going into it because we are getting married next year. And which is also actually kind of scary because it's like, we have to be connected and we have to be in a good place when he gets back, because we're going to be getting married and we want to feel in love on our wedding day, of course. And then another thing is that his son, Jalen, is going to be staying with me. So I'll be like a single mom to a 13, almost 14-year-old. And luckily, though, he's with his mom for the summer. So that kind of helps break things up a little bit. But anyway, as I said before, each time, no matter how many times, doesn't make it any easier, doesn't make it any less emotional. I think this time I've been really emotional because we are more in love than ever before and more connected than ever before. So it feels like a piece of my heart is missing. So the first thing is, don't let anybody tell you that, oh, it's just a few months, or oh, it's just this or that. I mean, they can tell you that, but don't take it to heart. Don't feel like you have to be strong and like, oh, well, there's a lot of women or people in relationships that have it worse. Some people have gone away for a year. Some people have gone away for 6 months and then they have to take care of the three kids on their own. It's a struggle for everybody involved. You can't compare your situation to anybody else's. So whatever you're feeling is not wrong. And that's something that's been different this time for me is I used to feel like I'll just keep myself distracted. I just won't feel the feelings. I have to be strong. And this time I've just been like, what, you know what, whatever comes up when it comes up is perfectly fine. I'm not going to judge myself for the feelings that I have. And it's really actually helped because in the past, even like 4 months out from him leaving, I would start disconnecting myself from him. So I would start sabotaging the relationship, like pushing him away from me, and we'd start fighting a lot more than usual. This time around, I recognized that really quickly on both of our ends. I called it out, and then we worked on staying connected to the end. And so there were a few times in the last week where I would just be on the ground meditating or listening to music, and I would just start bawling my eyes out, and I let it happen. I had my time. I reached out to friends for support. And then I let it out. Last night, right as soon as I dropped him off at the airport, I went home and took a nap. And then I picked up a friend and we hung out all day. We drank mimosas, we sang, we danced, we talked. And then later on in the night, I cried and she held me and told me that it was okay and just reminded me to breathe and stay calm, you know. So it's been nice. It feels like I'm actually coping with it and dealing with it. So that after this initial adjustment period of him being gone, I can start to establish a routine and still feel connected to him and myself and not feel like I have to shut myself down for 6 months while he's gone. So the first major thing that we learned from the first few times of him going long distance is the first time it was me leaving, but most times it's him that leaves. And obviously when he leaves, he's on a mission. Like he has stuff to do. He's really busy. He's like surrounded by other people. And I would get really mad if I didn't hear from him for if I didn't hear from him for like a day or 2 days or whatever at all, like nothing, no text. I would get really upset because I would feel like out of sight, out of mind. Like he doesn't care about me now that he's gone. I felt like I was just the person left behind and that I didn't matter to him anymore. So that caused a lot of fights in the beginning. And now I've just communicated to him that I don't need you to send me a long text. I don't need you to call me every chance that you get. I don't need you to video chat me. Especially, I understand that when you're traveling somewhere, you're really busy and it's go, go, go. All you have to do is just send me an update of landed in blah, 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 thinking about you, or in general, just thinking about you, love you, miss you already, whatever feels real to him, but just lets me know that I'm still on his mind, that I'm not just somebody that's just left behind here, just waiting for him to come back. And so he's gotten really good at that. So immediately when he got on the plane yesterday, he sent me a text and said, miss you already. He has been updating me about where he is. I woke up this morning, first thing, to a call from him. So, it would go the other way if I was the one leaving. I would always let him know, I'm here, I'm safe, I love you, I'm busy, but I just want you to know that you're on my mind. And that's a really simple gesture, but it can save you a lot of pain in a long-distance relationship. And then the other thing that happens especially the longer that you're long distance. So this can happen a month in, a few months in, but we'll have our like daily video chats for however long he has or however long I have. But sometimes it gets to the point where it feels like we're just staying on chat or staying on the phone out of obligation. Maybe I have things to do. Maybe he has things to do, but we're just like sitting there for the sake of like talking to each other, because it's different when we're in person. We don't have to talk all the time, but we can just cuddle. We can establish that connection through physical touch. But when you don't have that and you're just kind of like sitting there, sometimes I'll get bored or antsy or irritable because I'm just like, why are we even like just sitting? I feel like I'm wasting my energy just sitting on here with you. So what we're going to try this time. And something we've done in the past is just like little Skype dates. We're going to do something together while we're on like video chat, eat dinner, whatever it is. Another thing we talked about is starting a show together. So watching a show on Netflix or Hulu, keeping up with that show. And then when we're on the phone with each other, we can talk about it. Talk about, oh, like, did you watch episode blah, blah, blah last night? What did you think? And it keeps the conversation going. And then if we completely run out of things to talk about, then I'll have like conversation starters, which sounds really cheesy, but when you're in a long-term relationship, you do run out of things to talk about. And we were at breakfast the other morning and I pulled out conversation starters and I started bringing things up, and I still, even after being together so long, still learned new things about him. And that's what I love about sometimes asking questions that you wouldn't think to ask yourself. So it helps to have those on hand for your conversations. That way, because the physical touch can be such a huge element for a lot of couples, and that being gone, you almost have to compensate with a new form of connection. And then the last thing that's so important, this is huge for me, is that you come up with your own goals and ambitions during the distance, especially if you're the one that's staying behind. So establish a routine that works for you. Enjoy yourself. Don't feel like you have to put your life on hold for the other person. While he's gone, I have so many travel plans this summer. I signed up for a half marathon that I'm going to be running in November. I'm in school full time. And obviously I have this business, I have this podcast. So I'm keeping myself busy and occupied, not so much to distract myself, but to just feel like I have something going on for me too. And that I'm not just like the other half of a couple that's just temporarily dead while the other person is off living their life. So as you know, I'm sure if you're in a relationship now, or you've been in a relationship, especially a long-term relationship, all relationships take work. And even if you do have a great natural chemistry with someone, you still have to keep the connection alive and always continue getting to know your partner. And we change all the time too. So you want to get to know your partner too, as they're changing and they're growing and they're shifting. And you want to learn to recognize that. So that's all for today's episode. Make sure that you grab the 6 steps to confidence training before you go so that you can get updates from me. And come back next week and let's talk about sex, baby. Just kidding, I wish. Maybe one day. I mean, if that's a request that you have, we can do that. But let's talk about building strong and supportive friendships. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. And again, with the new format, just keep in mind that the length is going to vary. This is a little bit of a longer episode, but I feel like I had more to say. But it's just whatever is on my heart. And it's going to vary. So also in your feedback, let me know, do you like longer episodes so that you can like fold your laundry and listen? Or do you like shorter episodes so you can get what you need and head out? Let me know your thoughts, but can't wait to talk to you next week. But until then, just remember that you are enough and you are doing enough.